Whether you drive a car, need a car, or just occasionally bum a ride with friends, you've come to the right place.
Join the editors of Consumer Guide Automotive as they break down everything that's going on in the auto world.
New car reviews,
shopping tips,
driving green,
electric cars,
classic cars,
and plenty of great guests.
This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast.
Here's your host, Tom Appel.
All right, this is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast, and I am Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. Glad you can join us today. When you get a chance, please check us out at consumerguide.com. While you are there, check out our 2021 Best Buy Picks. This list is an excellent starting place if you are looking for a new vehicle. You will also want to check out our blog for reviews of all the vehicles we're driving here at Consumer Guide and plenty of other fun stuff. And if you have missed an episode or two of the Car Stuff Podcast, you can stream them right there on our homepage. If you want to be added to the Car Stuff Podcast mailing list, and you do, drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com. That is carstuff@consumerguide.com. All right, let's see who is online with us today. She is the managing editor of Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk, and her freelance work can be found all over the internet. She is Jill Simonello. Hey, Jill.
Hey.
Jill,
yes?
I have a question for you.
I may or may not have an answer.
This is out of left field. I didn't prep you for this question.
You did not.
Does anyone care about a launch edition of a vehicle? Everyone is doing launch editions. They're redesigning cars and doing launch editions, and it sounds like they're collectible. Very strange.
Well, so the thing about the launch editions, and this is why somebody might care, is it's basically every feature you could possibly want rolled into one without option packages. So,
okay.
And they usually have an exclusive color, and then they have like cool badging, and you know the VIN numbers are like 1 of 25 or whatever. So I can see why somebody who is like geeky in the automotive world, and I mean that in the nicest possible way, because I'm probably one of those geeks, might want something that is like a first edition, edition one, special edition, launch edition. However they name it. But yeah, that's why I could see it, because it's usually the top trim, everything included, all the cool whistles and bells, plus something you can't get on any other model.
All right. All of that makes sense. All right.
Yeah.
He is the senior editor here at Consumer Guide Automotive, and he's the newly anointed national director of Little League Youth Baseball. Welcome, Damon Bell.
You're not far off the mark there.
What's the deal, coach?
Yeah. Pro tip: if the your kid's baseball league asks you to be a part-time assistant coach and you say yes, you will become head coach without your knowledge.
I was gonna say, if anybody asks you to volunteer, just say no.
It seems to be how that works. Nah, I have to. Kind of goes with the territory, so
no, yes. that's cool.
I am not a baseball expert by any stretch of the imagination, so I don't know how much I'll have to teach these kids. But after the first practice, just advice like watch the ball so that it doesn't hit you in the back when it's thrown to you.
Oh,
this is where first base is. I think I can grasp those concepts, so yes, I think I can teach those. Yeah,
run through the bag and keep your glove on the ground would be like two of my, you know.
That's graduate level stuff.
Oh, got it. Yeah, so don't let it hit you in the face.
Not in the back. Like turn to face where the ball might be in the general direction of the ball. That would be step one.
Oh, so that's where we're at. Then don't let it hit you in the face.
All right. I think for the duration of the show, Damon, I'm going to refer to you as coach, if that's
coach.
Okay.
I'd be
all right,
honored.
Coach.
All right. Hey, our guest today is LaSheryl Turner. She is the head of Advanced Colors and Materials at FCA. LaSheryl is joining us to talk new car colors.
We can't say, sorry, Tom, we can't say FCA anymore.
I'm correcting it later. It's just, I'm in the transition phase.
Okay.
All right. I will do this to your liking. Our guest today is LaSherrill Turner, head of advanced colors and materials at FCA, now Stellantis North America. LaSherrill is joining us to talk new colors and whatever else is on her mind. You don't want to miss this conversation. I am not ready for Stellantis. I still want to say FCA.
Yeah, I'm
right there with you. Yeah.
Also, Stellantis doesn't mean anything.
Well, it does. I just can't remember what it does. It's a car. I don't know.
I'm going to argue if you can't remember, it doesn't mean anything.
That would be true.
But speaking of things that might mean something, Jill, you had a peek this week at Hyundai's first ever pickup truck. You saw it in the flesh.
I did. I saw it in the flesh. So I forget when they teased it. Was it 2015 at one of the, I think the Detroit Auto Show, they teased this compact pickup truck. And it had a whole bunch of cool features. It looked really cool. And we all thought it was never going to happen. Well, it happened. And it's happening so we record on Thursday. It's literally happening right now as we are talking. They are doing the world premiere of this vehicle. And I happened to be in Arizona this week doing something else and got to see it in person from them. And it is based on the Hyundai Tucson platform, so it is not going to be even a mid-sized pickup truck. So, we were talking offline, the smallest mid-sized truck right now is the Nissan Frontier, and I think that's at 205 inches, 0.7 or something like that. And this is 10 inches smaller than that. So, very small, compact truck, and it is what Hyundai is calling a sport adventure vehicle. So an SAV.
I need to stop you there. Okay. We are never using that term again on the podcast.
No, we are not. We are not. Because we are not. But they're creating a new segment, basically. And we've heard rumblings from Dodge or from Ram and from Ford, talking about the idea of having a quote-unquote compact pickup truck, but nothing has materialized. So this is it right now, and I think it looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's some Easter eggs on there. There's some nice little functionality, like they have bumper steps. So in the bumper, it has like a little place for you to put your foot if you need to go into the bed.
The old step side treatment.
Yeah, the step side treatment. There's in bed storage underneath. So we've seen that from like the Hyundai Ridge or Honda Ridgeline before.
Yeah.
There's under seat storage. So I mean, lots of really cool functions and features on this. Plus, the comfort of an SUV.
Did we say what it was called yet? Did I miss it?
Did we? Santa Cruz. It's called the Santa Cruz, yes. Not to be confused with the Santa Fe.
Yes. Hyundai Santa Cruz. Yeah.
Yes. And it's a 2022 model.
And when we say pickup, it's the, I don't think Hyundai is calling it that. I'm going to say it again.
The word you can't say.
Activity vehicle.
Adventure, not activity.
Adventure. That's right. You're right. Yes, sport adventure vehicle.
Because BMW has a sport activity
vehicle. You're right. Sport adventure vehicle. My mistake. And it's visually it's a Tucson fused with a pickup bed, but it doesn't have a separate cab. They're really Hyundai is saying that this is shatters the SUV and truck segments and that it's an entirely new vehicle category. Not really. There have been previous things along these lines. The first thing I thought of when I saw the sketches for this vehicle, the Ford Explorer Sport Track. Do you remember that one?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
The Chevrolet Avalanche, of course, that was the full-size SUV pickup hybrid, and then the Subaru Baja, which I don't think any of those vehicles really knocked it out of the park. If I recall correctly, the Avalanche probably lasted the longest out of all of them, and I don't think the Baja sold particularly well when it was in production. But now, Tom, isn't it something of a cult vehicle?
I actually looked for a Baja for my daughter when she began driving, and used examples, obviously used, with well over 100,000 miles on the odometer, still demand well over $10,000. So now they're cult classics. People love these things. Yeah. And actually, the Chevy Avalanche also actually has a following.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was really interesting. When I was on my way to the airport yesterday, I was stopped at a light, and I looked out my window, and I saw this compact pickup truck, and I thought it was the Santa Cruz. And I'm like, what the heck? You know, because they only have basically one model right now. And I looked, and it had Ram badging on it. And come to find out, it's a Ram 700 that they make in, like, either Mexico or South America, and it's only sold, you know, in south of the United States, but it must have crossed the border and come in. But it was out the corner of my eye, it was a dead ringer. And I was just like, huh, interesting. So
Chevy sells a vehicle in South America. I think it's built in Brazil, but it might be built in Mexico, called the Tornado, which is a unit body. That's a two-door tiny little pickup. Cool as heck. It's not going to ever pass crash testing here. But we also didn't mention the Chevy El Camino or the Ford Ranchero, which have been doing these things for years. And Australia's legendary history of Utes, U-T-E, Utes that have been selling there for decades, that were really just cars with pickup beds. But the market for something like this is yet to be established in the U.S., well, not established, I think successfully exploited.
Right. SSR,
El Camino, Ranchero, I put all of those in kind of a different category. The SSR is really a category of one. That's sort of a street rod kind of thing.
A category of silly?
A convertible pickup truck.
If you want to say that. But the El Camino and Ranchero, they're more definitely passenger car based. The Santa Cruz, it's interesting to me how Hyundai is positioning it. I read the press release this morning, and they are talking a lot about urban buyers as well, urban users who get out to do their adventurous things on the weekends. So it is going to be notably smaller than vehicles like the Honda Ridgeline or your standard Nissan Frontier or a Toyota Tacoma. I wonder if that smaller size will play in its favor in where this vehicle will may be able to succeed where previous attempts at this type of vehicle hasn't. And it also occurs to me that Hyundai has no real history in pickups, at least in America. Mm-hmm. So it probably makes sense for them to sort of dip a toe in the water with a vehicle like this instead of going full body on frame traditional pickup truck.
So question for you, Damon. In terms of this being a quote unquote urban vehicle, don't manufacturers generally tell us that? Like, isn't sort of the center of style and design always the urban, the hip, chic, urban customer? No one ever tells us, like, something's for some dude that lives in the country and can't get a date.
This is a rural chic vehicle. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Hummer EV SUV, that's an urban vehicle.
Right. Have they actually said that?
Oh, well, man. I mean, they showed it in the city with crab walk and parallel parking. So
that's true. That's a good point. Yes, I that as well. Yes, it's not on a butte in Utah somewhere. It's in a crowded alley in the city.
Exactly. There are cities that the Hummer would not fit in. Like, the whole city, it just wouldn't. It's not big enough.
No.
But here's my take on this Hyundai. I think it's going to sell well. I think it's really interesting. I think it's nice that we're actually seeing kind of a new small pickup truck, because small pickup trucks became mid-sized pickup trucks. They're now as big as old large pickup trucks. But I really see this as kind of a mulch runner in the suburbs. It's probably a third vehicle. I think people that have to occasionally pick up a lawnmower or a bike would love this, but it's also kind of cool looking. I don't know about this being urban.
It was interesting because in the world premiere video, they did a lot of, like, parallel parking. It'll fit in your garage. It'll, everybody they showed in the video was like 20 something. So, like, I think they're targeting somebody who's young, who, you know, is in the city, who wants to go hiking. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it does.
My memory is failing me. Do we know when this is going on sale?
This summer.
Okay, so soon. We'll see this thing soon. Of course, all bets are off because of the chip shortage, but the original schedule.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, my brain is completely freezing at the moment, too. I say this summer, and I'm pretty sure. Like, late this summer.
What we don't have, which I think is important, is pricing, correct?
No, we do not.
What do you guys think?
That's a great question. They have, I think we should at least touch on the engines. They're naturally aspirated. They're 2.5 cylinders. Naturally aspirated and turbo. They say estimated 190 plus horsepower with the base engine, and the turbo estimated 275 plus horsepower. So that could be a gutsy power plant that, you know, would make it actually quite fun to drive.
Yeah, and in terms of pricing, I think if you look at the Hyundai Tucson, the base price of that is $26,000 roundabout. So $25,000, $26,000. So I would imagine like that would probably be a good starting place for that as well for the Santa Cruz.
Yeah, I don't see them coming in less for any reason.
No.
And also it might be equipped just a little bit better. So yeah, $25,000 to $30,000 somewhere in there. All right, you know what, kids? I think we should take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to LaCheryl Turner of Stellantis all about color. You don't want to miss this conversation.
Welcome back to the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast, and I am Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. Thanks for sticking around today. Hey, this is the part of the show when I strongly recommend that you follow me on Twitter. I am Car Guy Tom. That is car_guy_Tom on Twitter. I promise to entertain you. All right. Our guest today has the job that Damon wants. She is the head of Advanced Color and Materials Group at Stellantis North America. If you've been taken by any of the new colors from Jeep, Ram, or Dodge, you have our guest to thank. Welcome to the Car Stuff Podcast, LaCheryl Turner.
Hello. Thank you for having me today. I'm really excited.
Well, thanks for being here. As I may have mentioned before we went live, Damon is a complete color nerd. So,
tell me what's your favorite color?
I can't narrow it down to just one, but the Mopar high impact color, the muscle car colors of like 1970-71 are pretty high on the list. So, the way the new Challenger and Charger have been reviving the spirit of some of those colors, I think is really cool.
The heritage colors.
LaCheryl, tell us a little bit about the Advanced Color and Materials Group and what you do there.
Yeah, so what myself and my team are responsible for, we work on kind of in the title, color materials. So we're responsible for everything from exterior paint, wheels, trim, the bright work that you see, to everything on the interior when you open the door, from headliner, carpet, seat belts, fabric, leather. So we basically say anything that you can see or touch that has color or material related, we've had our hands on it some kind of way. It's kind of exciting, you know.
How does the handoff work between you and the design team, the team that designs the outside of the car and sort of the general look of the interior? Do you work with them? Do they hand things off to you?
We actually work hand in hand with them. So let's say when those teams start designing for interior or exterior, we are right in the mix with them from the start. And it really helps us out or gives us an advantage because we can really get an understanding of what the vehicle wants to be, the personality, the customer. So we work hand in hand from start to finish.
And so you're obviously kind of looking for inspiration from basically the whole world around you. What are some of the ways that you kind of look into the, because whatever you're working on now is well in advance of when it's actually going to hit the market. So what are some of the ways that you spot those emerging trends and kind of look toward the future as to what might be popular a couple years down the road?
Yeah, can I honestly say that's probably one of the most challenging parts of our job, because as color materials designers, we're influenced by everything around us, right? And we're such visual and tactile people. We're inspired by, of course, fashion, deep fashion, sneakers, footwear, architecture, and a lot of what's around us out in nature and in the environment. So, you know, when we start working on projects or looking for new colors and materials, especially color, like you said, it is our job to make sure that we select or propose research, you know, colors and materials that can go beyond a trend lifespan, right? Because, you know, if you look at some of the gadgets or products out there, they have a high turnover, right? It's trendy for a moment. So it's our job to really make sure that we select color materials that will have a longer shelf life or a longer appeal to the customer.
Yeah, I was thinking along those exact lines, thinking about fashion. Do you remember, like, in the 90s, there was this fad for neon in sportswear? Do you remember the Columbia ski jackets with, like, day glow pink and green? So, yeah, it's different when you're buying a T-shirt or a coat versus a vehicle that presumably you're going to have for 5 years or more. So...
I don't know what you're talking about. Neon, I'm not that old. I'm kidding.
I was gonna say, wait, neon is still a thing, isn't it?
Is it?
No, actually it is. I think neon's sneaking back in there in some areas. Yeah, for sure. But, you know, I got a funny story. We were actually inspired by a neon color a couple years ago. And I remember presenting it to my boss, and he was like, "What are you thinking?" and I was like, "But wait, yeah, it may appear neon." So the team and I actually took what we thought was going to be a true neon yellow color space, and we changed it, tweaked it a little bit, painted a vehicle. It's got a little life coming to it, so we'll see.
What color, what car would that have been for?
It was just one of the colors we were actually investigating. I can't tell you specifically, but I can tell you that Wrangler wears a lot of colors very well.
Yeah.
And is this color actually coming then?
Actually, this color won't be coming. Yeah, okay. It was just about, you know, how we investigate and we're influenced by so many things, and you triggered a memory when you said the neon color space. And I was like, hey, yeah, we actually did try neon a couple of years ago. It was a great color. I'm pretty sure if it did make it to a vehicle line, you would see it coming at you for sure.
All right. So, okay, now the other thing I have to ask is, you guys have, it appears that you at Stellantis have more fun than any other OEM in naming colors. Off the top of my head, I'm thinking of Nacho.
Yes.
Snazberry.
Mojito.
Yeah. Is that a
brainstorm? We have tons of fun naming colors.
Yeah.
So yes, it is a brainstorming event. And it's a great collaborative event. You know, myself and my team, we can't take the credit for all those names at all. It's almost like you've got your whole family coming together and you're looking at this color space and the names just start coming out. Sometimes we end up, you know, leaving that meeting or event just in tears from laughter. that is the most fun, is naming colors. And then sometimes there's one exterior director here, poor Jeep, who sometimes he will just send me pictures with a name. Like one year, he sent me a picture of gravy around Thanksgiving, and I was like, are we calling this color gravy? Like, you know? But yeah, we have a lot of fun for sure. I think I think the name really, you know, sets the tone for the color as well, right? Like you mentioned, we have Nacho, we have Mojito on Wrangler, Pumpkin, Snazberry, so.
Yeah.
Well, so I mean, along with that, I'm wondering if you can share, and you may not be able to share, but I'm wondering if you can share, like, the funniest, best name that never made it.
We've got some that did not make it, like Lemonhead. Some I can't even mention because, you know, they're funny, but they're probably not the most appropriate. For sure, the one that comes to mind was Lemonhead. We've had Michigan Falls. We've got some good ones.
That's awesome.
So specifically in, obviously it's a fun process in naming the colors. And yeah, so many of those, they're such vibrant out there colors. What is the specifically the development process for those colors like? Does it take a few tries to get to that color that you look at what ended up being Snazberry and you say that's perfect? Like, are there kind of a couple of different hues that are tried before you land on something that's just right? Or how does that, the finding that perfect hue, how does that process work?
Yeah, of course. Well, it first starts, you know, I must say that we do have a great team of suppliers that we are fortunate to work with, such as PPG, Exalta. So, you know, without them, you know, none of our colors would you know, officially get there. So it's a couple things. We do attend some of the trend shows that our suppliers present to us. But we have a lot of color spaces that we do research for that we investigate. So it's a teamwork, right? We work with our suppliers to get to a color space, let's say pumpkin on Wrangler. You know, we knew we wanted a new orange space, something that we haven't done before. So we identify a target, we work with a supplier, we make tweaks. Sometimes we can land on it the first time. Sometimes it may take a few tries or more than a few tries until we actually, you know, say, hey, that's it right there.
Mm-hmm. Now, LaCheryl, how disappointing is it to you to be here having fun, coming up with great colors, knowing these cars look good in fun colors, and knowing that dealers are stocking primarily white, silver, and black? How much does that frustrate you?
I know. I wouldn't say frustration. More, it's a little bit of a heartbreak, but, you know, we understand, right? It's the customers. We know our highest selling take rate colors are what we call the core colors, which are the black, whites, the silvers, the reds. And those colors work well on all the vehicle lines, right? But I look at it another way, too. Let's say we didn't have an impact color to offer a customer, let's say, on a Wrangler or Charger or Challenger. How disappointing would a customer be if they could only order black, white, silver, or red, and we didn't have, you know, a really cool blue or green space? So I feel as long as we have a color out there or in the palette that gives the customer a choice, I really feel that we're doing our job.
So
it gives me a little hope of excitement, not frustration.
So I'm curious, I suppose in your job, you kind of have to play like pop psychologist or pop sociologist at some level, because it feels like a lot of these design color trends are just sort of driven by the collective subconscious at some level. Like, I'm noticing, like, within the past, say, 5 or 6 years, blackout trim is all over the place now. Like, black wheels, black body trim seems to be a popular thing. And I'm also seeing, like, a rise in really military industrial colors. You've got the great kind of vibrant greens and oranges, but also there's those real tough-looking, like, I think there's a color called Destroyer Gray that just looks like it should be a battleship railing or something. So are you kind of plugged into, are you paying attention to sort of sociological things there too in predicting what might be hot in the future?
Yes, and actually Destroyer Gray is a really perfect example because we do have that in our Dodge lineup. So a few years ago, we did an event in California that was made up of Dodge, Charger, Challenger customers. And for that event, we had an idea, hey, instead of us, you know, just guessing, you know, what, not purely guessing, but, you know, guessing what our next round of colors would like to be for the Dodge lineup, how about we take this opportunity at this event and we painted up like 10 color spaces that we knew we wanted to pursue. And also we wanted to create a new kind of heritage bank of colors, right? Replacing like the Furious Fuchsias, the Plum Crazies. So we took it to the customers, and that event was actually really, it was fabulous because we had customers voting on their, you know, favorite color spaces. We had young kids coming up and voting. So we painted these forms, we had them vote, and from there we narrowed it down to our next new top five colors. And from that, you'll see like Hellraisin, Frostbite, Cinnamon Stick came out of that event. So I think it is, it does come a little bit, you know, a little bit of, you know, touching the customer, listening to what they want. And from that customer base, we know Destroyer Grace is a great, you know, kind of color space. It's a solid space, and you'll see it in some of our other vehicle lines. So to answer your question, yeah, we do see a lot of the exterior trims going a little bit dark. Customers want that darker blacked out package. But it's how those accents work with some of the body colors that really sets it apart.
Yeah.
Now, your group is in charge of not just color, but texture and materials as well. And one of the interesting things that happened at FCA and now Stellantis is the evolution of the Ram pickup truck into what is a legitimately luxurious, luxuriously appointed vehicle. Can you talk a little bit about that trend and what it is about texture and interior materials that make something seem luxury and how you guys did that with the Ram?
Yeah, Ram is a great product overall. I mean, we have a lot of great products, you know, and I'm not just saying that because I work here. but changing that perception of what luxury really means, and especially playing around with it with color. You know, we go back to that take rate. You know, a lot of the higher take rate for color, you know, like I mentioned, for exterior, black, white, silver, red. For interior, it's predominantly black. But it's what we do with those color spaces, you know, playing around with the different textures on the interior, from interior accents, the different color chromes, the type of leathers. And that's what really helps or pushes us to, you know, that different identity for Ram to hit that luxury space, different color combinations. And I think that's what we've done well, not to brag about us or not saying that I'm bragging, but I think we've really tapped into that color space of, you know, offering something different, not just a black interior, just like our exterior colors.
Wow. Now, you guys also... No, no, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going to say, yeah, some people don't think, you know, when they first think Ram, they don't automatically go, oh, luxury. But, yeah, we've got that luxury tap into that price class.
Yeah, I haven't gotten into a Ram in the last few years without saying whoa when I saw the interior. Yeah. So that's on you guys. I also noticed poking around on YouTube today, and I didn't really think about this, but you might be the North American group, but you're in charge of a lot of international product. And I saw a video of you talking about some concept cars for the Beijing Auto Show a few years ago. Can you talk a little bit about how the color palettes are different in a market like China and how you guys address those?
Yeah, so yes, we are global. We do have a set of global teams in the different regions. So we do have a color materials team in China and also, you know, as you know, in Italy and LATAM. So working on that project was a lot of fun because, A, we got to work with our family members that aren't here in NAFTA. And it was great. Some of the colors are a little bit different, but we collaborate together. So, for example, if we're working or looking at different color spaces here, we share our information, right, to make sure that not only because we are global, that we do have common colors that are shared across our palette, but also there may be a unique color space that may be better fit in China than it would be here or in Italy. So we do a lot of work together to make sure we're hitting the mark for all the regions.
All right. No, it does. Thank you.
I think we're coming up close to time here, but I had a couple more questions. Do you think, will we ever see the return of pastel, crazy pastel colors like this? Okay, what are you groaning for, Jill? Those are cool. And also, LaSheryl,
a pastel pink Jeep, yes.
Not Jeep, and also, if you had your druthers, LaSheryl, what would you like to see a future kind of color trend?
Okay, so the first answer to the pastel question, I believe the new color of the year may tap into that pastel color, according to, you know, a lot of trend research out there. Tapping into that pastel space, I can say that we do have a couple products that could probably carry a pastel color. Am I saying like a pink or a really soft blue? I'm not sure. I know that we are looking at spaces that could touch on the verge of a pastel. Is there, so to answer your question, I'm answering it without answering it. Not giving it much away.
That works.
And then what was your second question again? I'm sorry.
If you had your druthers, what would be your dream color that would really knock it out of the park for your personal taste?
You know, I'm not making this up. Sometimes I don't sleep at night thinking about color. You know, what's that one color space are we missing? And, you know, I used to think it was trying to tap into that really liquid, you know, color space, the real liquidy silvers. But, you know, recently I feel like if we can just, you know, get that jewel ruby red kind of space, you know, just a red that you never forget. Mm. That's what keeps me up at night. I think if we could just get that really jewel, like, special ruby red space, I think that'd be amazing. I think we have fabulous red color spaces right now, but just looking toward the future.
LaCheryl, my takeaway phrase from this conversation is going to be red that you never forget.
Awesome.
LaCheryl, thank you so much for your time today. We're flat out of time, but we would love to have you back sometime.
Thanks for having me. Anytime.
All right, awesome.
I enjoyed being LaCheryl. Here. Thank you.
The pleasure was ours. That was LaCheryl Turrell, head of the Advanced Color and Materials Group at Stellantis North America. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, it's quiz time. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast, and I am Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. Thanks for sticking around. Hey, Jill, you're active on every social media platform, past, present, and future. How can the kids find you on MySpace?
Yeah, actually, ironically, I do, in fact, have a MySpace page.
That's not ironic. That's not ironic at all.
I am a little bit of a social butterfly. I don't post to MySpace. I'll be very clear, but I have a page. But on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok, I do in fact post quite regularly and probably too much. But you can find me just by searching for my name, all one word, Jill Simonello, or the hashtag Car du Jour, because that would be the car that I'm driving today.
All right, there you go. Damon, you just joined Coach Link. How can the kids follow you there?
Actually, I'm not joking at all. I now have an app on my phone called Team Snap. That is the preferred.
I want to belong to Team Snap.
Kids. I'm sure there are plenty of kids sports leagues all across Chicago that would be happy to take you, and you could install it on your phone.
Can I teach them running?
Sure. There's something out there for that.
You just can't talk about it. You hear?
Dang it! No, Killjoy.
I am on Twitter at Damon Bell Likes Cars.
All right. Speaking of Coach Damon, Damon is taking the reins on the quiz this week, and I understand the quiz is color related.
Yes. In honor of our guest this week, I have devised a quiz for you guys. You have to tell me which of the colors I'm going to give you is not a Mopar / FCA / Stellantis color.
Ooh. Okay. Oh my. Are they real colors for other brands? Or are they fake colors?
I will tell you that none of the colors is fake.
But oh no. This is gonna be hard.
None of the colors is fake, but it's just the colors that are Stellantis.
Correct. You have to tell me which of the colors I'm going to give you is not a Stellantis color.
And there will only be one. Got it.
Correct. Okay, so the first group, these are in kind of the red family. The first is, this is my favorite thing, it's bold colors and puns. I love bold colors and puns. So this, I'm in hog heaven right now. So the first, this is in the red family. Thanks Vermilion, Panther Pink, Moulin Rouge, Tor Red, that's like a pun, like Torrid, only Tor Red, and Furious Fuchsia. If you were paying attention in the last segment, you would have heard some LaSherrill say a couple of these names. So you have to tell me which of those is not the Mopar color. Tom, this question goes to you first.
Wow. Furious Fuchsia feels like fuchsia. It feels like something I just dealt with. But I'm going to call Panther Pink the fake.
Not fake.
The fake FCA color.
Okay.
Stellantis.
Okay. Tom says Panther Pink. Jill, question goes to you.
So that actually was my gut reaction as well, so I'm just going to go with it.
You are both incorrect. Panther Pink was a Dodge color. Moulin Rouge was a Plymouth name for the same color. It's a very bright magenta. That was one of their high-impact colors. The one of those that is not a Mopar color is Thanks Vermilion. That was a Ford color.
Oh.
All right.
This is going to be hard.
So no points in the first question. Moving on, the second family, these are in the orange category. There's Go Mango, also could be read as Go Man Go. Vitamin C, Cinnamon Stick, Toxic Orange, and Home on the Orange. Jill, you have to tell me which one of those is not a Mopar color.
I'm going with Vitamin C.
Okay, Jill says Vitamin C. Question goes to you, Tom.
Can you repeat those, please?
Yes. Go Mango, Go Mango, Vitamin C, Cinnamon Stick, Toxic Orange, Home on the Orange.
Vitamin C feels like a good pick, but I'm going to go with Toxic Orange.
Okay, so Jill said Vitamin C, Tom said Toxic Orange.
Correct.
Oof. Both wrong. Home on the Orange is not the Mopar color.
Whose color is that?
That was also a Ford color that was also known as So Coral.
See, and I thought Vitamin C was a Toyota color because I seem to remember the small Prius, the Prius C.
Yeah, Prius
was that
had
weird
a bright
orange
color.
Yeah. So that's where my head was.
Once again, Go Mango and Vitamin C, same color. Go Mango is Dodge, Vitamin C is Plymouth.
Interesting.
All right, okay. Moving on to yellow. Tom, this is your question to start again. The candidates are Top Banana, Lemon Twist, Last Stand Custard, Citron Yella, and Curious Yellow. Which one of those is not the Mopar color?
Citron.
Citron Yella?
Yeah.
Again, a pun, Citronella?
Yeah. It's funny.
I feel like you're making fun of me with my name on that one. Citronella, Simonello. I mean, really? That wasn't nice.
The color just is. None of these are fake colors.
I'm kidding. I know. I'm kidding. I had a teacher in high school who used to call me Citronella. What was the last one you said?
Curious Yellow.
That was the one I wanted to go with.
Okay, so Tom said Citronella. Jill said Curious Yellow. Nobody's on the board yet, man.
Oh!
Last Stand Custard. Also a Ford color, also known as Bright Yellow.
Interesting.
All right.
And by the way, that bothers me because it should be Custard's Last Stand or something like that. I don't know. Last Stand
Custard. Yes, that's part of the pun. Yes.
That bothers me.
That's the pun part of it, though.
It bothers me. Go ahead.
Now we're moving on to green. Maybe this will be the one where one of you gets on the board. This goes to Jill to start. The choices are Sassy Grass, also I think that's sometimes called just Sassy Grass, sometimes Sassy Grass Green. Green Go, you can read that as Gringo. Limelight, Sublime, or Anti-Establishment.
Oh, man. Those are all good. I'm going to need you to read through those again. I'm sorry.
Sassy Grass, Green Go, Limelight, Sublime, anti-establishment?
I'm gonna go with, what was the first one again?
Sassy grass.
I'm gonna go with sassy grass.
Okay.
I'm going with anti-establishment.
Tom is on the board.
Yay!
Anti-establishment is a Ford color. All the rest are Dodger Plymouth colors.
Okay.
So Tom is on the board with 1-0. Now we're moving on to the last category. Jill, you can tie it up here. These are purples, and I believe LaSherelle mentioned a couple of these, so you should be able to X out a couple.
All right.
The options are, and this goes, Tom, do you choose first here? Yes.
No, I just did. This is Jill.
No, I went first.
Went second. Yeah, you go first this time.
Oh, I do? Okay.
I'll say, here are your options, Tom. Plum crazy, inviolate, violet, not violet.
That's a great color.
Isn't it? They're great puns.
Yeah.
Hell raisin, hullabaloo, not hullabaloo, hullabaloo. Finally, mood indigo. Which one of those is not the Mopar color?
I'm going to go with the inviolet.
Inviolet, not.
And what was the second one you said?
The options are plum crazy, inviolet, hell raisin, hullabaloo, and mood indigo.
Yeah, I'm going with inviolet too, the second one.
Both wrong. Hullabaloo is a Ford color that was also known as Acapulco blue. I believe all of the Ford colors I listed were offered when they first launched the Ford Maverick. I believe that was late 1969 as an early 70 model. They had some funky color names for that vehicle. So Tom, you squeaked out 1-0.
Yeah.
We still have the lowest scoring
quiz ever, I think.
I totally dominated.
Jill, you can get on board with the bonus question here. I've again gone to with a color theme. Back in the good old days of muscle cars and street machines, it was popular to install glass pack mufflers on your car to make it louder. So you have to tell me, and a couple of these are still manufactured now under these names. You have to tell me which is the fake high-performance muffler brand name.
Oh, my.
So, Jill, this is your question first, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Okay. One of these is fake. I only have three this time. Cherry Bombs, Blue Rumblers, or Purple Hornies?
Just because I have to say it in my out loud voice, Purple Hornies.
You're saying Purple Hornies is the fake?
Yes.
Okay. And this is fake. One of them is a fake.
As a youngster, we actually used the term Cherry Bombs rather generically, so I'm just going to assume that that's actually a brand name. You didn't come up with Thrush. I don't think you'd make up Hornies, so I'm going with Blue Rumblers.
Sound logic, Tom. That is correct.
Thank you.
Blue Rumblers is the fake.
Yay! I got a bonus point.
There you go. Yes, and I would, if Cherry Bomb has one of the best logos, the Cherry Bomb logo is super cool. Vintage logo that still looks cool today. Well, Tom, I'm like exhausted now. This Quizmaster is really hard work. So I'm just going to take a breather here and throw it to you to talk about what's on the blog this week.
Now you know why I take a nap after each show. It's that quiz. The quiz wears me out. But Damon, to paraphrase you, we've got a lot going on this week at the CG Daily Drive blog that I think everyone's going to want to check out. We just posted a review of the 2021 Nissan Leaf SL Plus. This is a well-equipped Leaf with a long-range battery, good for 215 miles, and a very nice color called Sunset Drift Chroma. What is it called? Chroma Flare.
Yeah, we're all about the color this week.
Yeah.
We are. But this is a good looking color, and it works well on the Nissan Leaf. We have our 2021 quick spinner, the GMC Yukon AT4. This is GMC's new large SUV with their new AT4 off-road equipment package, really a trim level. I think it's a handsome thing, actually, and I like the AT4 trim.
Mm-hmm.
I put together an ad pack. I love doing these ad things. They take too long to put together, but I did an ad gallery called Luxury Madness, Premium Car Ads from 1955 with Prices. And I think the greatest thing about this particular gallery that people might enjoy is knowing how much these cars would cost now in 2021 dollars. And it turns out that cars did cost a little bit less back in the day. For about $30,000 to $35,000 in current 2021 dollars, you could buy things like a Packard Caribbean or a Cadillac or a Lincoln. But the bad news is those cars didn't come with air conditioning or AM radios. Mm.
Wow, yeah, I'm looking at inflation adjusted, a price of a 55 Cadillac is only $39,000.
Right. And again, if you wanted to add air conditioning to a Cadillac then, it was like $500 or $600 then.
Oh, yeah. So the proportional cost for that.
Huge.
Yes, huge.
Yeah. We also put up a quick spin of the 2020 Mini Cooper SE Hardtop. This is Mini's only pure electric vehicle. This is an interesting vehicle, and I think that Jill railed against this vehicle recently because of its limited range, and that is a factor. It doesn't have that much range, but it is a delight to drive, and it's relatively reasonably priced. One of the things about this that works is that it's small, it's kind of urban. What is the EPA range on this thing? About 115 miles, I think?
I think it's 110.
110, yeah. But kind of a fun-looking thing. And speaking of design, I find these wheels really weird, Damon.
Yeah.
So cool.
They're designed to mimic the look of British power outlets. So it's mm-hmm. a very funky kind of asymmetrical design to them. I read somewhere that the asymmetrical layout necessitated some funky engineering to kind of keep everything in balance. They certainly look interesting standing still or in motion because of that asymmetrical mm-hmm. look.
So we're out of time here, but one quick point. Damon, Jill, do you guys think the yellow trim on this thing is necessary to call it out as electric?
Yes.
Yes.
It's the quickest and easiest way for automakers to have EV versions of mainstream vehicles stand out. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it doesn't surprise me that Mini is following a pretty familiar playbook. It's the quickest way to make it stand out from a regular gas engine counterpart.
See, I sort of think
it's not green.
Green or typically blue too,
right.
But I think we've kind of run. That's kind of run. It's natural life. I think calling out EVs as EVs is probably, I don't know, visually unnecessary. But
I would like to point out that Damon's pastel is right there.
There you go. We have run completely out of time, kids. I blame you guys. All right, folks, remember you can reach us at consumerguide.com. If you want to get on the Car Stuff podcast mailing list, just shoot us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com. Special thanks to our guests this week, LaSheryl Turner of Stellantis. Thanks to Jill and Damon. A big air hug to producer Lady B and the good folks here at WCPT AM 820 in Chicago. A shout out to my radio mentors, Steve and Johnny. Hey, let's talk more about cars again next week.